Welcome to today's strategy session. Right, a little bit background about myself for those who don't know who I am. My name is Joseph Price. I'm the co-founder of Honeycomb. What we do is pretty simple. We do strategy, we do training, and we do content. If you want to learn more, simply go to our website, honeycombagency.co.uk. A little bit about my background, former head of marketing, head of e-commerce, head of sales, and I worked with and for companies like Philips, ViewSonic, a lot of startups in Germany and in the UK, SMBs and corporates. Today's agenda, very simple, as always, we have 20 to 30 minutes presentation, and then at the end, we have a Q&A session, roughly 10 to 20 minutes. So please put all your questions in the chat and I'll get to that at the end of the presentation. Also, remember that we have weekly deep dives into sales, marketing, leadership, business growth strategies and topic every Tuesday, 6:30 London time. You see, we're on Meetup, so just join our group and we'll keep you updated and make sure that you RSVP to every session that you would like to join us. Question, surprise, let's start it differently this time. Who has worked with sales scripts or call guides? Just raise your hand in the chat so I know if you are familiar with sales scripts or not. And if not, that's absolutely fine. Good. Let's move on. Why do you need a sales script? A sales script sounds so 80s, so 70s, maybe even 90s, outdated, but actually it's not. A sales script is a very good companion and a very good tool that will help you close more sales. So why you need a sales script? Pretty simple. The first 15 seconds in every sales call pave the way forward into the conversation. So the initial opening, how you go into the sales call, how you introduce yourself, that's absolutely crucial. And if that fails, it's most likely that your sales call will fail. So you got to get it right and you have to nail it within the first 15 seconds. And you have to show confidence, of course. If you go in there not being confident, then that's, yeah, the vibration and I would say the atmosphere in the call is not very good. You have to be confident because you have to be confident about the product that you sell, about the services that you sell. So confidence is absolutely crucial. And if you're not confident by nature, that is a habit and that is a trait that you can train, that you can make it a habit to be confident. As the more sales calls you make, the more confident you will be. And also it's important to take control of the conversation right from the start. You have to lead the conversation because you want the lead or the prospect to do the things that you want them to do in the sales call because you need to gather information. So with confidence, you can take control of the conversation and that will help you go through the whole sales call. And also, it's absolutely okay to read from the script, especially the opening part, especially the first 15 seconds, absolutely fine for you to sit down, have it in front of you or on a second screen or monitor and just read it. The only thing I would say is don't sound too robotic, just make it your own, but it's absolutely okay to read from the script. As I said, don't be a robot. Nobody likes that. Make the words your own with your own tonality. And your own flow of words. It also helps you to build rapport, right? The more confident you are in what you have to say and what you want to say, the better the chances are that you can build rapport. And rapport is absolutely crucial. And the only thing how you can do that is really by practicing. So you have to do that over and over again. You can do role plays, which is absolutely fine with a friend or a colleague or someone else. But basically, the more calls you make, the better you will become. And I'm talking a really large scale. calls, right? There are sales organizations where you do 30 calls a day, 50 calls a day, 100 calls a day. And when you do that, you automatically get more confident about the words that you say, the message that you want to convey, about the questions that you need to ask to gather intelligence or information. So read through your script over and over again, even before a call, just read through it and read it out loud. You have to hear your words and you have to hear how it sounds, what it is that you're saying. And as I said, make it your own. It's your words, write it in a way that it sounds natural to you. And also the other person needs to understand and needs to feel that you are not reading from the script. That's very important. Again, make adjustments so the words flow easily off your tongue. And there are several ways how you can do it. And the more you practice it, the more you go through it, the better you will become, the better the sales script will become. So it's very important to read it out loud over and over again until you are satisfied with it and you're ready to make the next call. And once you finalize the sales script or the call guide, just stick with it. If it works, don't change it. Just stick with it with every call that you have. And this way you memorize it and you get more and more confident with what it is that you are saying. If it works, don't change it. And yeah, finally, I can say we've designed thousands of call scripts and we can say that it works. It really helps you in the call being more confident and closing that deal and closing that client. So a sales script might appear to be very old school, but in that case, it still works today. So what are the four components of a sales call? Number one, we have the introduction or the opening. As we said, first 15 seconds are absolutely crucial and you just have to nail it flawlessly. No ahs, no ums, no maybe, no. That's why you read from the script and that's why you have to perfect it so that it flows off your tongue very elegantly. Number two in a sales call is investigation. Now, that simply means gathering information. You ask certain sets of questions to the person on the other side, to your prospect, to your leads, in order to gather information and information about different things. And we'll talk about that in a second, what it is that you are asking and what it is that you need to understand from the client. Number three, we have to demonstrate our capability. So that is part three of any sales call. Demonstrate capability that we are the solution to their problem. And we can do that in different ways. But basically, that is something that needs to be in every sales call. If you can't demonstrate capability, then it's really a waste of time. And it's also a waste of your prospect's time. So you have to prepare that in advance in the call guide, in your call script. And then number four, obtaining commitment. Right? So you know what the prospect or the lead has to do. You know what the desired outcome is for you. And you have to obtain that commitment from the person you are calling. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere, right? You have to have the next step in your sales funnel or in your sales process in the back of your mind. And you have to push the prospect in the call to that commitment, whatever it is. We'll talk about that as well. It can be different things, for example. Right, let's talk about the opening. Again, 15 seconds, make it or break it. You have to be confident. No ahs, no ums, no, you know, wavering around. No, you have to be absolutely confident. It doesn't matter who you call or it doesn't matter who the call is with. It can be a CEO, can be a person, can be a potential client. It really doesn't matter. You need to be confident. You need to be confident about yourself, about the products that you are selling. Also show authority. You know what you're talking about. You are the authority in your field. There's a reason why you are having that call because you know that you have the solution to their problem and you need to convey that. And as we said, it's essential to pave the way and control the conversation. So sticking to your sales script is absolutely fine, because we need to check all of these things in the sales call, especially the first 30 seconds, 60 seconds. It's very important. And then the introduction. You need to have your pitch ready. You need to have your introduction ready, because the other person might think, unless they booked a call with you, who the hell are you and why are you calling me? So that needs to be prepared, and you need to have at least, let's say, a one-liner or a two-liner in terms of introduction, who you are, what your product is, what your brand is all about, ready, so you can pitch that and drop that into the conversation if it comes up. And lastly, of course, get the prospect's agreement to ask questions. We need to have their agreement that we can continue in that conversation. If we don't get that agreement, that's absolutely fine, so we can close that call. But in order to ask, in order to gather intelligence, you need to be able to ask questions, and you need to get the prospect's agreement to do. And also, never put yourself in a submissive position. I've seen a lot of salespeople going about the opening in terms of, do you have 5 minutes? Do you mind if I take 5 minutes off your time? That puts you in a very submissive position. And depending on who you talk to, you need to be at the same level. So it really doesn't matter if you pick up the phone and cold call someone, or if it's a warm call and they booked a conversation with you. Never put yourself in a submissive position. I know most of us are being raised with, in a way, that you should be nice to people and things like that. That's absolutely fine, but in sales, it really doesn't work. So you never put yourself in a submissive position. And also, you need to control the conversation. And you can control the conversation by having a call guide, by knowing what you are doing next, by knowing what you are going to say next, and also going through the script one by one, so you have that structure in place without having to think about it. So controlling the conversation is absolutely crucial, because you need to know where you're going, and you need to guide the lead and the prospect in that conversation to all the points, to all the checkpoints that you need to have checked. And also, of course, you can do it in a way so you can let the prospect think that they are in control, where in reality, it is you who controls the conversation. And the most simple way to do that, by the way, is by asking questions, right? The one who is asking the questions usually is in control of the conversation. And you can lead the conversation by asking the right questions at the right time. And lastly, building trust and rapport. You can do that very simply by a phrase that's called show me. So do a little bit of research about the person or the business you're having a call with. Go to the website, go to their social media, understand what they are all about, and also understand what their pain might be. So show me is absolutely crucial to build trust, build authority, and build rapport with the prospect on the other side. Investigation. Now comes the fun part. There are different sets of questions that you should be asking in order to gather intelligence and in order to investigate the prospect and to find out if it's a good fit for your business or not. Number one are situation questions. What's the prospect's or the lead's situation, right? So where are they at? What's the business? What's the business size? Business model, and so on. So you need to understand the situation first. Or if you provide a certain product or a certain service, you need to understand the situation in the business of your lead, of your prospect. Even if it's B2C, same thing, right? You have a solution. You need to understand if your solution is a good fit for the lead, for the prospect you talk to. And you can only do that by asking these situation questions. What's the prospect's situation? And then you lead into problem questions. And now that's the fun part, because we need to understand what are their challenges without actually asking them or spelling out, hey, what are your challenges? What are you struggling with? So there are a lot of phrases that we use where you can basically dig out the problems without making them feel that they can't handle it themselves. So there are certain ways that you can phrase a question to get the information that you need and basically letting them keep their face. And then implication questions, right? They have a problem. We now know that. We now know their situation in the business or in personal life. So what are the implications of that problem that they have, or multiple problems that they have? What's the implication on the business? What's the implication on their personal life? If they don't do anything about it, what does life or business look like in 6 months' time or 12 months' time? Again, there are sets of questions that we use regularly where this is really just as easy as it can get to make the prospect understand that they have a problem, and letting them tell you their pain point. So what's the implication of that problem on their business if they didn't do anything about it? And there are certain ways how you can phrase these questions and put them forward, again, just to gather information, but also to build up the sales conversation and the sales call so you can ultimately provide the solution even without pitching and then close the deal. So these are all not random questions and random points in a sales call. These are all proven to be highly effective. And I've been using that every day. And I know that it's highly effective because you can absolutely nail a prospect down, quote unquote, in the most gentle way, having control over the conversation and then leading them towards ultimately the close of the sale, which is what you want to do in every call. And then we have a need payoff question. So we know that they have a problem. We know what would happen if they didn't do anything about it. And that means that they have a need for a solution. And we need to ask questions about the need payoff. Not only the need, but the payoff. If you had XYZ that would provide you with ABC, would that be a benefit? And usually the answer is yes. So that's one example of how we can phrase a need payoff question. Again, that puts you in a position where you don't have to pitch, because pitching is old school, right? Nobody sells anything anymore by pitching, especially not in a cold call. Nobody's interested in that. But if you go through all of these sets of questions, and then at the end, you ask the need payoff question, you have that prospect at a place where they feel the pain, where they feel the implication of it, where they see that you have the solution for them, but also they understand what their benefit would be to go with your solution. That's the need payoff question sets. Also, remember to ask open questions, right? We don't use closed questions that the prospect could answer with yes or no, or at least we try to minimize these questions. Open questions lets the prospect explain in their own words what the situation is, what the problem is, what implications could be, and also what benefits they would expect from a solution. So open questions are absolutely great. And you should always ask, you should always listen more than you speak. That's why open questions are so important. No pitching. Absolutely no pitching at all. We don't go in the call and say, hey, we've got a new product. Do you want to buy it? No, we don't do that. And also throughout the conversation, we don't do that. We do, and that's the only time that we do pitch in a mellowed down way in the opening, in the introduction, who are we and what do we do? And then when we go to the need payoff questions right at the end, that's when we can present our solution and the benefits to the client. Also, it's very important to understand how you can use positive and negative phrasing. So we never speak positively about their situation. So how easy is it for you to do that? No. If they hear easy, subconsciously, they say, well, I don't have a problem. If you rephrase the question to how difficult is it for you to do XYZ? How time consuming is it for you to do XYZ? What implications, if you didn't do anything about it, would that have on your business or your family? So psychologically, you need to have an understanding of how you can phrase these questions in a way that is beneficial to you, but also beneficial to the prospect, because you need to give them the comfort that they can open up to you in the conversation, and you just need to grab all the information that you can get, gather all the intelligence, because that ultimately leads then to the close. Demonstrate capability. We have to show how can we solve the prospect's issues and challenges. Again, not really pitching, right? Once we've gone through the whole script and the sales call, and we are at the last part of it, last part before the close, only then is the time to show the benefits of working with us or buying our product or buying our services or whatever it is that you are selling or providing. We can't do that at an earlier stage. We need to build the whole conversation up so that we can then come in and say, okay, this is your problem and this is a possible solution. We know a thing or two about it. Here's what we can do for you. And the benefits would be ABC. Again, as I said, still no pitching, right? We have to rephrase it in a way that we focus not on the features, but on the benefits for the club, for the prospect. It's not a client yet. We still have work to do. So we focus on the benefits, not so much the features, right? We don't say this car is great because it's black and white and it has these great tires and stuff like that. We don't do that. A benefit would be it can take you from A to B in less time with less gasoline consumption than competitors, for example. So the benefits need to be on the back of our minds all the time, and then we can present it on a silver plate to the prospect in the call. Getting commitment, as I said and mentioned earlier, it's basically a CTA, a call to action, right? You've seen that on Amazon, there's the buy button, or links, learn more, etc., etc., a call to action. So we can take that offline and say in our sales call, we also have a call to action. And whatever it is, that it's the next step in your sales funnel. However you define that next step, you need to understand, or you need to know, what the prospect should be doing as a next step. And you need to get their commitment then. Whatever it is you want the prospect to do in the call or after the call, you need to get their commitment now in the closing phase of the sales call. Objection handling, I think that's the fun part of it, because it's a game of chess. If you prepare your sales script and call guide in the way that we've just outlined, I would rather say it's objection prevention as opposed to objection handling. And it's very easy to explain. So you need to design your sales script or call guide in a very specific way that is not pitching, but basically based on asking questions, asking the right questions, and active listening without pitching at all. So if you do that, you will eliminate a lot of the typical objections. You still have some, oh, I have to think about it. Oh, that's expensive. Yeah, sure. But we can basically minimize the amount of objections that we have by designing our sales script in the way that we just outlined. So design the questions based on reverse psychology, right? Remember the positive and negative phrasings, but also the situation questions, the implication questions, the need questions, and so forth. So you can do that and formulate the questions in such a way that you get all the information that you need in order to qualify the lead, but at the same time, making the prospect or the person you talk to very comfortable in opening up. And that's done by psychology and reverse psychology without being mean, right? We don't want to be mean. We want our sales calls and conversations that we have very ethical and very positive. It should be a positive experience for the participants. Let the prospect tell you their pain. This way we can avoid all the objections. and also the benefits they expect from a solution. So if they tell you what they expect from a solution and the benefits that they anticipate, and you provide that, well, that makes the sale and the closing very easy. And then you present your solution, of course, and close the deal. And that prevents roughly 95% of any objections. So that was an excerpt from our full one-day sales training. We go in all the details because we have a full day. That was an overview of how you can design a sales script and a call guide and prepare yourself for the call, and also prepare yourself to close more deals, more clients, more leads than you would without having a sales script. If you want to know more about that one-day sales training, just go to honeycombagency.co.uk/sales-training. I just realized that this is a mouthful and we should talk to our marketing team if we can have a tiny URL for that. But anyway, check it out. Looks a little bit like that. So we have everything that we discuss on that day: selling without pitching, problem, situation, need payoff, qualifying the prospect, active listening, sales script building and designing, and so on. So we'll really dive deep into that because we have a full day to do that. Again, the URL, honeycombagency.co.uk/sales-training. Have a look, check it out. Thank you very much for your time. Before we go to the questions, I've got a favor to ask. If you've gotten value out of this strategy session or the previous strategy sessions, I very much appreciate if you could send me one or two lines via email or on LinkedIn or Meetup, or record a short video, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds that we could use as a testimonial. So that would be absolutely great. And now your questions, if you have any. I don't see any in the chat, which is surprising. I would love to have some questions. So if you have any questions about sales script or closing or conversations with a lead, then put it in here. Otherwise, I will then close this strategy session and hope you've gotten more than enough value out of it.
I was just wondering, in the, you know, you say you have a one-day sort of strategy session. I was wondering, what's your kind of view on tonality when speaking with prospects?
Very good question. Tonality has a lot to do with authority and controlling the conversation. So tonality is absolutely, absolutely crucial. And to take it a step further, tonality in combination with NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, meaning matching and mirroring the person you talk to, that's the best way to lead a conversation, right? So you have to adapt your tonality to the prospect, to the person you talk to, right? If he's or she is cheerful, then you can be a little bit more cheerful, right? If they are more reserved and it's like more calm, then you just mirror that, right? And yeah, you can calm yourself. So if you ask, how are you doing today? And he says, and you say, wow, excellent, perfect. If they respond with, I'm all right, then you say, okay, excellent. So you change the tonality accordingly to what you hear and feel, and maybe if it's an in-person meeting, you see also from the prospect. That's a very good question. Very good.
What about body language?
Same.
NLP
basically has the matching and mirroring, right? So you can proactively build rapport and make the prospect or the other person more comfortable by mirroring and matching how they sit, how they stand. And you can also, if you're a little bit sophisticated with NLP, you can control the prospect, right? You can make them open up. If they are like this in the conversation, mm-hmm, just go in like this, maybe not exactly the same, so it doesn't feel awkward, but you can do the same thing. You can do this or that, and then you open up. Mm-hmm. And if there is a rapport, you will see that the prospect will open up as well. So you can use that to manipulate. I don't like using that word, but to guide the whole conversation and guide the person you talk to.
I was wondering if you were gonna, it was gonna have the same sort of, what's the words, like effects, like the same sort of thing with tonality and body language. You do use mirroring with both. That's what I was wondering if you were gonna say that.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know.
We have a question in the chat, and so it's the last 3 minutes. Thank you, Aniko, for that question. Do I use the same method in email sales? That's very different, because what we talk about here, the best, it depends on your business model, of course. If it's e-commerce, it's slightly different. You can basically use psychology and the right wording and tonality also in the written form to push a sale forward, to give them confidence and give them the good feeling about your e-commerce business, for example. If you have the possibility to pick up the phone and talk to them, do that, right? Your phone is the number one tool for closing. If you have the opportunity to get on a phone or Zoom call or meet in person, always do that. Email is good to warm the conversation up, but I would always say get on the phone. Get them on the phone, at least talk to them, and then you have better ways to really control the whole conversation and a higher chance to close it. Last 2 minutes. If we have no more questions, again, I thank you for your time. Again, for your participation as well. No worries. You're welcome, Aniko. If you have further questions about email marketing or email sales funnels, just drop me a message on Meetup or put it in the comment or connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll find me quite easily and we can discuss about that. Absolutely fine. Perfect. I'll take it. We have a wrap. We can call it a wrap. Thank you very much for your time. I'll see you again next week, Tuesday, same time, 6:30. I think we're talking about content marketing next time. Everything's on Meetup. Just check it, RSVP. And then I wish you a very good evening. And thank you again. And until next week.
Thank you very much. Joseph, as well, did you get the message that I sent on LinkedIn? It was literally just a quick question that I was going
to
ask you.
I didn't have time to reply. I'll do that straight away. Let me have a look and I'll reply to you. Give me five.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. I'll get something for your, I'll do a couple of sentences or a quick video.
Fantastic.
For the thing as well.
Appreciate it.
No worries. All right. No worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.